Back in 1987, I went to visit a priest friend who was studying in Rome, and we decided to cross the Alps to visit Austria. So we did visit the city of Vienna, beautiful capital. There, I decided I wanted to visit a small church called the Franciscan Kirche. It's run by the Capuchin Franciscans. I wanted to go there because the basement of the church was the burial crypt for all the emperors and empresses of the Habsburg Empire. And so we went down there, and quite frankly, it was rather eerie. It even had that sort of musty smell. But here were these huge bronze sarcophagi, and they were a little bit macabre. They had, you know, skulls and things like this. But then they had the effigies of, like, Maria Theresa, the great empress. And there was Franz Joseph, the emperor who ruled at the beginning of World War I. While we were there, though, we learned an interesting tradition. For instance, when Franz Joseph, the emperor, died in 1915, his funeral mass was at St. Stephen's Cathedral down the street. So after the mass, they had the long cortege through the streets with very great pomp and ceremony. Then they came to the Franciscan Kirche. The Archduke bangs on the door, knock, 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 and the little door of the big door opens, and a monk says, "Who is it?" And the Archduke says, "I am Franz Joseph, the Holy Roman Emperor, the King of Austria, the King of Hungary. We do not know the man." Knock, 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 knock. "Who is it?" "Franz Joseph, the Christian Emperor and the Elector of the Holy Father, the Pope." "We do not know the man." Knock, 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 knock. "Who is it?" "Franz Joseph, a poor, wretched sinner that needs a place to rest his bones." And with that, the big door opened and the burial took place. A great humbling experience. Death is the great equalizer. It's the great humbler. You and I have to think, then, that in our own lives, no matter all that we have, we will one day be very humbled. So the lesson to learn from our scriptures today is to be humble now. For our Lord does say, he who exalts himself in this life is going to be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Of course, when we look at the first passage from Sirach, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, we read, "For whoever exalts himself," "my child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than the giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God." So, my brothers and sisters, it's good for us to pause, especially as everything begins again this year. School starting with Loudoun County this coming week. Our grade school started. All the activities start. Probably hustle and bustle in the workplace begins again. All the activities. It's good to pause and ask ourselves, do I really live the virtue of humility? St. Bernard of Clairvaux said, this is the mother of all the virtues. Truly, because it makes us Christ-like. Jesus himself personified humility. St. Paul writes in his beautiful letters that Jesus emptied himself, becoming a slave. And he humbled himself, accepting death, death on a cross. So looking at our Lord then, we have to bear in mind what he said. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." You and I have to admit that that's not always easy. We're the poor children of Adam and Eve, the victims of original sin. Yes, we have the graces of baptism, but nevertheless, we struggle with the weakness, the concupiscence due to original sin. All of us have to deal with that exertion of ourself, that push of pride. And we have that without question. Who of us at times doesn't have that sort of little voice Maybe it's the attitude, it's my way or the highway. I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to be first in line. I deserve this. I'm better than that person. We all struggle with that. And if we don't admit it, we've got another problem of pride in itself. But then when we look at this, we see it lived out, don't we? Going to school, for instance, how many of the little kids have to be first in line? And they will push, trip, you name it, they will do it to be first in line. Or high school, when things are more competitive, and maybe that's sports or drama, music, whatever, and it could be the person who's really good ridiculing someone who's not so good, and the person who's not so good being very envious, even trying to undermine the person who is really good. Take it to even the adult life. Who of us here hasn't witnessed like a road rage event just because some moron cut somebody else off and then we're going to have a violent action here? You could lose your soul on the highway driving here. And part of it's because of pride, not thinking about the other person. Or maybe we've been in a conversation and the person pontificates and dominates the whole conversation. Or we watch the news, especially some of these like political talk shows, whether CNN or Fox, and nobody listens. They're all talking at once, and they're yelling at each other. Pride. We see that. And yet, we're called to be humble, to have that virtue of humility. This begins, first of all, with remembering God is God, having a poverty of spirit. Remember the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. This isn't about economic poverty. This is recognizing that everything that we have is a gift from God. Everything, even our very life. Actually, the word humility comes from the Latin word humus. It means dirt. So we remember in Genesis, God took the earth and made man and breathed life into that man, giving him a soul, putting him in a place above the rest of creation. Christ, too, has given us a new life through his passion, death, and resurrection. So we need to be mindful each day that everything we have, our basic life, all our abilities, attributes, all of our talents, everything is a gift from God, to be used rightly for God's glory, for our own good, and also for the good of others. So a humble person isn't going to be mediocre or slothful. A humble person recognizes those talents and wants to use them well. At the same time, a humble person doesn't put the spotlight on himself, but uses those gifts humbly. For those who are less fortunate, helping those individuals, not ridiculing them, trying to bring them up to a greater level. A humble person will give praise to others, even those who are better than what he can do. A humble person, too, will accept praise. We can be proud of our accomplishments, but at the same time, give thanks to God and also give thanks to others. When you think of athletics, for instance, it's one thing to say, well, I'm the great major league, whatever, baseball, most important player of the year. But remember, there's a team too, right? So we have to always have that sense of poverty of spirit. Everything that we have, God has given to us to be used rightly. The second step is to remember each person is important. Each person has value. When we look at the gospel today, Jesus says to them, don't just invite those who are the wealthy, powerful, influential people. Invite the crippled, the lame, the beggars. They have as much importance in God's vision as anyone else. We should never forget that. Just the idea of treating every person with respect, proper courtesy, is important. There is a humble person. No matter how great a person may be, that person should never look down on another, but look at that person as he would Christ himself. This too, we have to remember. And Jesus said, be careful. It's very easy to look for those who have the power, the influence, and the wealth. So he uses that dining hall experience. Haven't we been to a dinner sometimes, maybe at the office place, at the bishop's house, and people are jockeying around who gets to sit closest to the bishop? Yes. Oh, yes, it happens. And yet, where's the humility? And again, everyone is equally good in God's eyes. And then the last step of humility, too, is to be able to admit our mistakes. A humble person doesn't just blame others. It's that person's fault. It's a big problem in Washington today. The politicians always blame somebody else. It's that person's fault. I inherited this and so on. No. Accept responsibility for our mistakes. Seek forgiveness. A humble person says, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. A humble person tries to make rectitude, try to work things out. Who of us here hasn't made a mistake? At the same time, it moves us to seek forgiveness from God. Because when we sin, we not only hurt our relationship with the person we've sinned against, but also with God. This is the beauty of the sacrament of penance. We humble ourselves. We examine our life, fall on our knees, we go to confession, receive absolution, and we start again. Pity the person who says, I have no need for confession. I have no sin. That's the person we have to worry about. Dante, in his Divine Comedy, The Inferno, said that the souls in hell were sparked by pride. There we have it. So we have to look into our own lives and say, yes, I have sinned, and forgive. At the same time, too, don't we have to forgive others? Even when we have to correct and discipline, don't we have to do that with charity? Again, look at the gospel. Jesus saw all this maneuvering going on. He didn't berate anybody. He didn't humiliate anybody. Instead, Jesus said, look, when you go to a wedding feast, take the lowest spot. He taught in a very charitable parable that hopefully made them think, oh, I didn't do that. So, my brothers and sisters, humility is the essential for our growth in holiness. Think how better not only our personal lives would be, but our family life, parish life, community life, our country life would be if we practiced humility. I think of a great example, and that's Pope Benedict. Remember, Pope Benedict was Cardinal Ratzinger, a brilliant mind, without question. Probably one of the greatest, I would say, theologian of our modern times. His works will continue to be read. Now, Cardinal Ratzinger was asked by Pope John Paul II in 1984 to be the head of the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, like the supreme teaching office in the Vatican, the one that makes sure doctrine is taught properly and so on. Not an easy task. He had to correct. He had to discipline. Sometimes the newspapers were very cruel, calling him the Panzer Cardinal or the Grand Inquisitor. He wasn't that way. If there was an errant theologian, he called that person to the office. He dialogued with that person. He wanted to clarify, to rectify. And if the errant theologian was full of pride, yes, to discipline. But that keeps the church safe. Several times he wanted to resign, because of his age and so on, just because of the work. But Pope John Paul II said, no, I need you. He submitted. He humbly accepted that position, all during the time of Pope John Paul II's reign. Pope John Paul II died, we know, in 2005. And at this point, Cardinal Ratzinger thought, now I can go back to Germany and just be a scholar, be a professor. Well, it turns out, who's elected pope? He is. When he was elected pope, came out on the balcony and he said this, the cardinals have elected me a simple, humble worker in the Lord's vineyard. In his inauguration mass, he said, weak servant of God that I am, I must assume this enormous task, which truly exceeds all human capacity. How can I do this? I am not alone. I do not have to carry alone what in truth I could never do so. All of the saints of God are there to protect me, to sustain me, and to carry me. And your prayers will also accompany me. My real program of governance is not to do my own will, not to pursue my own ideas, but to listen, together with the whole church, to the word and the will of the Lord, to be guided by him, so that he himself will lead the church at this hour of our history. He served very well. And again, even though he never asked for the office, he accepted it. Granted, we know in February he resigned. What a humble action. Recognizing his own frailty, his limitations, he resigned his office. And now he's humbly gone off into the shadows. Here is a man of great humility. Think, if our leaders of our country would only act the way he did. So my brothers and sisters, you and I are called to be the humble servants. After all, one day we knock on that door. And remember last week, that was in the gospel, that we knock on the door. If we've humbled ourselves, then we will know our Lord. And when we knock on that door, it will open, and he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." May God bless you.